Back together again, you and I chatting it up Tuesday, April 16th, 2024 on Connecticut Today, where I wondered aloud whether national Republican lawmakers in D.C. have completely lost their ability to govern. Yankee Institute blogger Megan Portfolio joined us to chat about the latest buzz surrounding the so-called Green Monster Environment Bill at the state capitol. Great post today. By the British car company Aston Martin. You know, if you're a James Bond fan, Mr. Bond always drove an Aston Martin. And Aston Martin today put a Facebook post up there telling all you folks that want electric Aston Martins to go pound sand. Aston Martin is sticking with petrol power, preserving the classic sounds and smells of combustion engines until at least the 2030s. Their electric debut is delayed till 2027 due to a perceived lack of consumer demand. To bridge the gap, plug-in hybrid investments for, I love this, V8 and V12 engines are on the horizon. You gotta love a car company in this day and age that says, hey, you know what? Now we got some new V8s and V12s coming out. Lawrence Stroll, the company's CEO and chairman, said their strategy involved producing petrol-powered Astros until they are no longer permitted. I love that. Yes, Mr. Bond, James Bond, he approves. 203-333-9422, 333-WICC. This is another day. And by the way, next hour at this time, our good friend Megan Portfolio from the Hartford Portfolio and the Yankee Institute. This is another day when I ask myself, and you have to ask yourself as well, if you are either a conservative or a registered Republican, you've got to ask yourself, what in the heck happened to the Republican Party? Honestly. Because now House Speaker Mike Johnson is facing a second call for him to step aside. Now, this is after they got Kevin McCarthy out there, and they being led by Matt Gaetz and the Freedom Caucus. Now, in an election year, which is just complete and utter lunacy, in an election year, you've got Marjorie Taylor Greene, who, by the way, has done what exactly? I mean, my God, the hot air that this woman spews with no effectiveness. What has she done? She's one of these people in Congress, along with AOC on the other side of the aisle. There's a lot of members of Congress that if you actually study their effectiveness, and there are colleges and universities who have taken a look at how effective lawmakers are on both sides of the aisle, you don't really get a glowing review of some people like AOC and Marjorie Taylor Greene. So now Marjorie Taylor Greene is teaming up with Republican Representative Congressman Thomas Massie of Kentucky, who, by the way, lives off the grid. Okay, so that should tell you something. Just my opinion. Nothing wrong with living off the grid, but just whatever. So they're teaming up in an election year to try and boot Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House. So let's boot you Republicans out there. What happened to the party? What happened to the party of Reagan, of Lincoln, of Dwight Eisenhower, even the Bush family? What happened? The comments that he's going nowhere from Mike Johnson coming after Thomas Massie, a sharp critic of further aid to Ukraine. And by the way, all these people, will you stop? Oh, you know, Ukraine. So you're willing now, not that Ukraine is not going to win here, but I don't get this. The Republican Party used to be, one of their tenets used to be standing up to Russia. Remember that? Yeah, I know that was radical at the time. That Reagan guy, what did he know, right? It used to be standing up to totalitarianism or authoritarianism. But now, you know, these Republicans, the isolationists, whatever, let them have part of Ukraine. This is mind-numbing. Massey's a sharp critic of further aid to Ukraine, and he said this morning that he's planning to join Marjorie Taylor Greene on her motion to vacate the speaker chair. They want to fire Mike Johnson. So again, for these far-right lunatics that call themselves the Freedom Caucus in the House, I guess they don't have calendars. Right? Do they know there's an election coming up in a few months where the Democrats on the other side of the aisle are going to say, you want to elect these guys? Look at these guys. It's a fire drill. They can't even agree amongst themselves. Again, folks, you may be swearing at me for saying it right now, but I'm going to say it again. Do you ever see Democrats doing this? Honest question. You know what the answer is. The answer is no. They never, ever do this because they're disciplined. You may not like their ideas. You may not like their policies. Some of those policies, whether it's on guns or the border and abortion, whatever, you may disdain them. That's not the issue. The issue is they stick together. And you cannot deny that. Whether the speaker now presently is Hakeem Jeffries or whether in the past it was Nancy Pelosi or any past Democratic speaker, Democrats never do this. And I give them credit because they're disciplined. But, you know, the Republicans had to get rid of John Boehner. They had to get rid of Kevin McCarthy. They're trying to get rid of Mike Johnson. I don't get it. What is going on here? Can somebody explain this to me? It is mind-numbing. And if you are a registered member of the Republican Party, it should drive you nuts. Quote, Mike Johnson said, I am not resigning, and it is my view, an absurd notion that somebody would bring to vacate the motion when we are simply trying to do our job. I don't get it. Johnson plans to release the text of the foreign aid measures as soon as late on Thursday. He spoke with President Biden Monday night to preview the proposal. A White House official said Mr. Biden was waiting to see the full details of the plan. It is mind-boggling that in an election year, when the other side is saying Republicans can't govern, they're playing right into their hands, hook, line, and sinker. Massey is a libertarian-leaning conservative who has served in Congress for more than a decade. He was integral in removing then-Speaker John Boehner in 2015 over frustration that the Republican leader was out of step with the party on spending issues. Massey's move comes amid growing frustration among a large bloc of Republican conservatives over how Johnson has repeatedly turned to Democrats to help pass legislation. Now, yes, he's done that. You know why? Have you seen who's walking out the exit door? It's mostly Republicans. Because the party is too far right. And there are not enough numbers. See, everybody says, well, a truly conservative speaker would do this, blah, 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 blah. The numbers aren't there. It's easy to do that when you have numbers. Again, I liken it to a football coach or a team that doesn't have a grasp on reality. Coach, how you doing the game this Sunday? We're gonna run the ball. Coach, you're last in the league in rushing. Yeah, but we're still gonna run the ball. Okay. Then of the post game, coach, why couldn't you run the ball? Well, that's a tough defense out there. It's just, It is mind-boggling. It is just in an election year. Look, if you want to play all this political pussyfooting, you can't do it in a presidential election year. When the Democrats are going to sit there and say, folks, look at these, our friends across the aisle. They can't govern. They can't govern. And again, I will ask you, do Democrats ever do this? You know what the answer is. I'm sure they bitch and moan and cry amongst themselves, but it stays behind closed doors. Paul in Orange. Paul, good afternoon. How are you?
Paul, thanks for taking my call as always. Just a quick comment. Abraham Lincoln's favorite politician was Henry Clay, who was considered the greatest Speaker of the House in American history.
Uh-huh.
And he said it's about compromise. You find these two factions, you figure out what they have in common, and you go from there.
Mm-hmm.
I don't see anyone doing that, including Democrats. My question to you is, do you think it's because of super PACs and dark money?
No, thank you, Paul. No, my honestly, Paul, the reason is that they know that Republicans are in a mode right now where they will self-destruct. You have a party right now where Democrats are saying they abide by that old adage, hey, when your opponent is destroying him or herself, keep your mouth shut. And you have people like Marjorie Taylor Greene, Chip Roy, Thomas Massey sitting there. And they're like it's like moles doing the work of the liberals in Congress. So why should they even open their mouths? But of course they come out looking magnanimous because you have Hakeem Jeffries out there saying, and he plays the game too. Hey, listen. You know, we might be able to help out Speaker Johnson here because we want things done. And apparently he can't even get a handle on his own party. It is mind-boggling that in an election year you have members of the Republican Party who might take down another Speaker of the House. Now, if I'm the Democrats, if this happens again, I just, you know what's going to happen, and you Republicans are going to scream and yell about it. But President Biden and Karine Jean-Pierre and Chuck Schumer and Hakeem Jeffries are going to go up there in front of their weekly news conferences and say, well, you know, it's sad, but our friends on the other side of the aisle, they can't govern. Just about every Tuesday at this time, we welcome Megan Portfolio to the program. She writes the Hartford Portfolio blog at the Yankee Institute. Megan, good afternoon. How are you?
Oh, I'm not too bad. You know, I had done my taxes over the weekend, and then all of a sudden I wasn't feeling so good, but I'm starting to recover. So it's kind of like some kind of tax flu, I think I had.
Okay. All right. So did all the math add up in the end? Did everything come out okay?
You know, it came out all right, but then a big kick in the pants was when I had to pay sales tax in order to file it electronically. So I'm like, you got to be kidding me. I have to pay tax in order to pay my taxes.
Well, there's a shock. And speaking of paying, you have a new analysis here. Now, we've heard about that green monster bill. Now, by the way, did you dub it that? Have you been given a trademark on that or not? Because I think
I should have taken an official trademark, but it was just one of those things. I was sitting at my desk and I came up with it and I laughed to myself and I thought it was super funny.
But
I'm
now
like, I'm going to use this.
But it's been embraced by both sides. Anyway, you're keeping us up to date with that. And now a General Assembly office has come out with some possible numbers on this. So what do you have for us?
Yeah, so once a bill passes out of the committee stage and heads over to the House of Senate, it goes through the Office of Fiscal Analysis, which takes a look at it and assigns fiscal notes to it so that the lawmakers, you know, have all the information before they vote. And so it comes out that this bill will have a significant increase in cost to ratepayers. It doesn't really specifically say what that increase is, but according to OFA, it's significant. And they point to two sections. One of them, it forces state agencies and in their construction to reach a net zero greenhouse gas emissions by 2050. So that's a cost in itself to the state, which obviously is our cost. But then there's another section where they establish all these benchmarks for just Connecticut for greenhouse gas emissions. Again, getting to this net zero by 2050. And with what would need to be done to the grid to accommodate it, I mean, someone's got to pay for it. OFA wasn't specific. They kind of said it's unsure who will borne this cost. But, I mean, I don't think Eversource is going to pay for it or UI is going to pay for it.
And you know, Megan, and just the common person, maybe not wonks like you and I, but again, I even have people who message me on this and saying, but yeah, is anybody, like, when are we doing something about the grid? Like, forget the electric cars, forget the heat pumps and all this. Like, when are they fixing the wires, right? I mean, even a person who doesn't have some sort of electric engineering degree, even they understand that this comes down to common sense.
Oh, I mean, you remember a few years ago with the snowstorm from Halloween. All the power lines are down in certain parts of the state, and they were without power for weeks. I mean, I know the utilities try to keep up with it the best they can. I don't work for them, so I don't really know what the process is.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's going to be small compared to what's going to be needed. I mean, Eversource was saying just to have the electric cars, and this doesn't include anything else like electrifying buildings, agriculture, any other sector, just cars. It's going to be $2.4 billion in either upgrades or new substations in order just to accommodate the cars. So now throw in buildings, throw in every other sector. And I can't even imagine what that's going to be. And I guess that's where OFA was at. I mean, it's infinite, the cost.
Yeah, and you and I both know, Megan, and by the way, the guest is Megan Portfolio from the Yankee Institute. You and I both know, Megan, we've been covering this stuff for long enough to know that if tomorrow morning, if Wednesday morning at 9 o'clock on April 17th, there was a news conference by any utility, UI, Eversource, whatever, and they said, hey, we're announcing the building of a new power generation plant here, the environmental groups, the green groups, their heads would be exploding by the end of that news conference, and they would tie these things up in court for years and years and years. I mean, you and I both know this. Don't they understand this?
They're just very focused on the one thing, and that's the environment. So they don't look at the outside of that little box that they're in. I mean, in this bill, they want to have deep hire a consultant for $600,000 to come up with strategies in order to meet these benchmarks.
Yeah.
And in this report, there's nothing about, oh, hey, what's this going to do to a lower income person? What's this going to do to a middle class person? It's just to come up with strategies and then come up with sector specific strategies amongst that. Like, okay, well, let's target the transportation because they're contributing 40% to the greenhouse gas. So let's go to all electric cars. But they just don't look at the big picture, and that this does affect people's life. I'm not saying let's have a crappy environment and pollute the water and the air, but I mean, you have to take into account, I mean, people need to go to work. People need to have a warm house. They need to have a cool house. And I mean, just even the schools are trying to pass all kinds of things to get better air quality in schools. I mean, that's electricity, that's power, and it's got to come from somewhere and someone has to pay for it.
And I mentioned this, you know, the last few days talking about, you know, Bridgeport wants to institute a tax to help the schools. Well, you know, air quality in schools. Well, why haven't we dealt with that, Megan, over the past 5, 10, 15, 20, 30 years? Why did it take COVID to slap this state in the head and say, geez, the air quality in some of our schools, that's not too good. Now you're finally figuring that in the 2020s? Like, what have you been doing with all this money for the past 50 years? I don't get it.
Well, it just goes to feed the government. I'm just wondering, where were they at when I was a kid? I swear to God, I was raised sterile. Like, I remember sitting in my classroom, and it's about 100 degrees, and they're telling us to suck it up.
Suck it up!
I'm not saying the kids should suck it up. I want to preface that. I was kind of making a joke.
No, but I understand. No, yeah, I mean, and again, you know, well, we know why. Look, you and I both know this. Hey, should we air condition the middle school on Main Street? Well, yeah, but you know what? It's only really hot for a couple of days. You know, let them sweat for a couple of days or a couple of weeks, right? It always comes down to money. And we go from, in this state, Megan, we go from 0 to 100 miles an hour and stuff. We never do the gradual acceleration. We never go through the gears on the transmission when that's the better way to drive. It's maddening. It really is.
And that's why I get sick when I do my taxes every year, because it is maddening, because I see how much I pay and I see how much other people pay.
Yeah.
And it's like, guys, can you please be more responsible with our money?
Yeah. And look, it's an election year, right? Is the notion here that in this green bill, there's only a month to go in the session right now. So is this kind of just being run up the flagpole now to when we get after the elections in November and we go to the long, bad session, the 6-month session next year, that some of this really gets dealt with? Is that the timing thing, you think?
Yeah, I'm guessing that the architect of the bill, Rep. Christine Palm, this is her last year. She decided not to run again. So this is just like her, you know, she's been trying to get crazy environmental bills passed since she's been in office. So this would be like her last hurrah.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. I think I read in CT News Junkie or maybe CT Mirror that there's like 600 bills that they have to go through, and session ends May 8th. So I don't know. I don't know what's going to happen. The scuttlebutt at the Capitol is that this bill may change. I don't know to what extent. I hope that some of this stuff comes out, especially things that are going to increase cost of energy for lower and middle income people. But, you know, we'll be the last to know, as always, because we're not welcome into the room.
No. And you know, 600 bills with what, 3 weeks left? There's a great time frame, right?
Oh yeah, and there's a lot of bills out there that are not good. They're bad bills. They're bad for business and bad for Connecticut. The other word on the street from the progressives were all sending emails out over the weekend. Oh, the paid sick day bill is coming out.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you basically get a paid sick day because your Facebook friend is sick, and you know the company has to, the small business has to pay for it. So, I mean, I expect to see a lot of bills like that are going to be debated for hours.
And you wonder what's going to happen with the implementer, right? You and I see that every year, where stuff that didn't get a floor vote or barely made it out of committee, you know, that implementer bill is 900 pages, and they get it at, you know, 4 o'clock in the morning when everybody is fried from pizza and Diet Coke, and right? And then 2 days later, hey, look at what's in the implementer bill. How about this?
I mean, that alone, I can talk about that for a half an hour. It drives me insane. I get paid to read this stuff, but it doesn't just affect me. It affects everyone else in the state, like all my neighbors who are probably out bringing kids to practices or whatnot. How are you supposed to read 900 pages in a couple of days? It's insulting. It's insulting.
It is.
And it drives me nuts.
Oh,
can
yeah.
Give us a week.
As well it should.
Sorry.
No, that's all right. No, you go ahead. You can vent. I understand you. I understand you're angry. This is good. Megan Portfolio, the guest every Tuesday at this time. Check it out, the Hartford Portfolio. Megan, we will speak next week. Take care.
Have a good week.
All right, thanks. There you go. Megan Portfolio there from the Hartford Portfolio.